The views expressed on the Big Shiny Podcast are explicitly the views of everyone on BigShinyRobot.com, regardless of what anyone may tell you.
And the Big Shiny Podcast contains coarse language such as shit, damn, and hell. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey guys, this is the Noob from Battlefield Friends, and you're listening to the Big Shiny Podcast!
Welcome to the latest episode of the Big Shiny Podcast. This week we are going to be talking about video games. That's what we're talking about, right? I don't know why we just did the National Geographic intro, but sitting to my right is Kylie.
Hello.
He stuck around for games this time.
Yeah, you stuck around this time, you ass.
I'm awake.
Yeah.
I had some awesome coffee.
That's right. Black silk.
Sitting next to him.
Speaking of black silk.
Black silk.
My own personal chocolate bear. Been watching a lot of Scrubs lately.
Nice.
Jimmy.
What's up?
Co-founder of BigShinyRobot.com, Lucas. Yep. That was
really
painful is what that
made
was.
The mics mad. Nice.
That's what I was trying to do, was just upset Tom. And I need you to edit that out, by the way.
You should just pour your Schweppes on his computer.
And pressing the space bar, as always.
Dude, I've been practicing my space bar hits. I've got this cool double tap going where I'm like, ta-ta! Ta-da!
Getting that APM up.
And I'm Tyson.
Oh, can I talk about BlizzCon? Where can I put that?
Yeah, just write it down somewhere.
I don't know if we're going to have time with what fell out of my ass this morning featuring
that's,
Jimmy.
That's after the break.
That's just after the break. Let's not worry about that.
But
this is true shit. I'm not going to embellish one bit.
Or wait, should we kick... Sorry, not to cut you off. Should we kick off with Jimmy's stupid
Let's
shit?
Let's start with that.
Did you actually have stuff, or were you?
Yeah, no, this is real shit.
This just happened today.
Okay, so which happened today? Both of them?
Both.
Are the ghosts and ass related?
Yes. We've started using
ghosts segue into assholes.
We started using Google Docs to try to be somewhat professional, and we had this one for our agenda, and at the very bottom, some asshole in all caps added, close encounters with ghosts. /Jimmy, what fell out of my ass this morning? Also, Jimmy. So let's let him do this.
Rock and roll. I
want to hear this.
I'm just like, I don't care what he added to it. I'm impressed that he actually got into the Google Doc and added something
to it.
That's
more than I did.
I'm like, I know Lucas will add to this, and you know he'll have a conversation. I'm like, Jimmy and Kylie will probably never even get into the edit mode of this.
You know what the
we
problem,
watch next time.
I'm lo and behold,
we're going to dominate it.
The problem is when you can email to join the Google
just
Doc.
Just erase everything.
It doesn't dump it right into your Google Drive app, which is dog shit. Like, hey Google, fix your shit. Okay, move on.
So I was just impressed that Jimmy got in there and edited.
Thank you.
So
I appreciate
Jimmy.
That.
Tell us about your close encounter with the ghosts that segues into falling out of your ass.
All right. So I don't believe in the supernatural, even though there's probably some supernatural shit out there.
I don't believe in ghosts, even though ghosts probably exist.
I acknowledge the existence, but I refuse to believe it.
That's exactly it.
He ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Okay. So I have a light switch that takes batteries, and it's an arcade stick.
I've seen this firsthand.
I told Shanna not to put batteries in it because since it's downstairs, if it ever goes off during the night, I'm going to think it's a ghost, and I'm going to blow holes through my wall to prove that. Not sucking dick.
He's not going to do the air suck. The glory hole?
Yeah. So she puts batteries in it like the fucking bitch she is. And I keep it off, so there's an off and an on switch. I haven't heard it go off yet. Now let me get into what fell out of my ass this morning.
Wait, it'll tie in. So there was
it'll
no ghost?
There was, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
So what does it do exactly?
So
no, you're just lying. If we're getting ahead of ourselves, this says close encounters with ghosts.
Yeah.
That didn't happen in this first
half. No, it's going to happen. It almost happened just a second ago, too. So I don't know if this is just all tied weird together. So I had DiGiorno pizza the night before.
That'll do it.
It wasn't delivery?
No, it was DiGiorno.
Are you sure?
I did that. I had a dream about a guy who I'm pretty sure is gay. We didn't do anything gay. But I think the ghost is gay. And here's why I say that. So this morning, before I take my shower, I get my clothes ready, and then I go and I shower. As I was getting ready, I farted and I almost shit myself. I shit myself a little bit.
Okay. What's a little bit of?
But watch this. It felt kind of gluey and sticky. So when I took off my drawers, swear to God, I came out of my ass. There was like this creamy semen that came out of my ass. I'm not kidding you. This happened today. I'm not embellishing. I was Googling. You can see my search engine. I Googled that shit to figure out what was going on with my asshole. And I was like, maybe it has something to do with that. I didn't have a gay dream, but maybe it had something to do with the guy in my dream or the ghost inside my house.
A gay wed dream?
So maybe the ghost raped me, came in my ass, or Shanna's coming in my ass. I don't know what
that
it
was
is.
That was ectocom.
So listen to this. I'm showering. I feel it again. I touch my butt on the outside of my ass. Not in my asshole like I usually scrub. On the outside of my ass, there's a sticky, creamy. I look like I got slimed. Like, it's only about as big as a quarter, and I could feel it. I'm like rubbing it. It looks like fucking Elmer's glue is on my asshole. Or around my ass, actually. So I'm washing it all off. I'm like, this is so weird. So I take my underwear that kind of has, it's like a shit mixed with cum. No, don't laugh, dog. This is real shit. And I wash it off in the sink, and I smell it, and it doesn't smell like shit.
I'm gonna throw up.
So I'm convinced something went inside me. I don't know what it is. And I don't know what kind
so,
of...
So hold on. So
I had a discharge, and I can't figure out what it is.
Kylie is standing up behind his chair in shock.
I want to make sure I got this perfectly clear.
Please.
Perfectly clear.
No embellishing.
You woke
this
up.
Is true shit.
And there was a white, creamy...
No. I farted in my room.
Okay, either
and
way,
I shit myself a little bit.
All right. A creamy white discharge came out your ass.
Yeah, and shit with it. But yeah, just...
I don't care about the shit part. Okay. I don't care about the shit part. Yes. Obviously shit came out.
Yes.
White, creamy discharge came out of your ass.
Is it DiGiorno? Or is it a ghost?
Hold on. Yes or no? White, creamy discharge came out your ass.
Yes.
Your first instinct wasn't, I should maybe go to the doctor.
I went on the phone.
It was...
I looked it up.
No, it was...
I tried to. You should see the shit that came up.
A ghost must have fucked me in the ass.
Must have. And this is why I say that, because I had a dream about the guy who I think's gay at FedEx. The guy at FedEx that used to hang out with us. Sweaty Nate is his name. Sweaty Nate was in my dream. I don't know why he was. But Sweaty Nate was in my dream. We didn't have sex in my dream, as far as I can remember.
No.
But when I woke up and I farted, it was like, what is it? When I woke up and farted and I shit myself, shit and cum came out of my ass, and I don't know why. I cut my asshole and ran to the bathroom just to see what eventually had happened. And yeah, creamy white, smelt it. Washed it off. So, it happened again while I was in the shower, in my time machine shower.
So really, it's giving the evidence that we have here. It's safe to assume.
I've been raped.
It's safe. It's safe to assume that Heather doesn't have a gluten allergy. That someone's just punching her in the stomach. A ghost, probably.
Could be.
And me being lactose intolerant, someone at night is clearly force feeding me milk.
I just don't know. Unless someone came in my pizza and when I farted.
All medical ailments are ghosts.
Tomato, tomato. I don't know what happened. That's why. Well, that's why I'm bringing.
You got some good news to tell Heather tonight.
I'm bringing it to the table. That's.
You know, hold on. Heather's been feeling dizzy. You know what's been happening?
I don't
want to
know.
She goes to sleep. And the ghost is just picking her up and just fucking swinging her around.
So what the fuck happened to me?
I'll bring over the PK meter. We'll figure it out.
Honest to God, true story. You can text Byron I told Byron this story, and he told me to shut the fuck up and get back to work.
I'm sure you sticking your fingers in your ass and in your nose is a true story.
I took the whole drawers and I put it right there.
There is no part of the story that I doubt happened. Just your
this is the second
conclusion that you've jumped to.
This is the second time this year I've shit myself.
Kylie, do you have any medical ailments that perhaps
chalk it up to ghosts.
I don't believe in ghosts, but one fucked me up your ass and tossed me the shit out of
your migraines. Clearly a ghost has like hit you in the head with a fucking baseball bat.
It's like Looney Tunes going on with this ghost.
Don't believe me? Come sleep over for a night and try not
and
to fart.
And then shower with you while you're fucking jizzing
look,
out
look,
your...
Look, smell it.
Smell this. Doesn't it smell like marshmallow?
It doesn't smell like shit at all.
I dare you guys to come over and sleep over.
All right.
Of okay. course he does.
This was the whole end game for him. This is some sleepover rape thing he's
yeah.
planning.
Yeah. And then when we wake up, like, what's wrong with my ass? Some ghost raped me. Jimmy, was that a roofie? Yeah. Was that a roofie on the table? Did you roofie me? No, dude. Some ghost must have fucked you.
It's the long con.
Oh, shit.
Tyson has played poker with me. He knows when I'm lying. This is not a lie. This is true shit. True shit. You play poker with me too.
I don't want to talk about video
Jimmy,
games.
I don't doubt that this is what you believe.
What's wrong with me?
Oh, we don't have a podcast like that.
So,
what fell out of my ass?
Thank you for listening to the Big Shiny Podcast. Let's just go home.
I don't know where to take it from.
Wow.
Well, Tom, why don't you tell us about especially, the logo for
you were going to have some heavy discussion later about sex and video games and the the legalities of such that is following coming out of Jimmy's ass.
So,
Mogo Pro. Let me see this stupid thing.
Yeah, follow that, Tom.
Right? Jesus. So,
I told you.
That was awesome. Thank you.
If you happen to be a regular reader of Big Shiny Robot, you may have noticed an article I posted a few days ago about how I turned my Android phone into the world's greatest Super Nintendo. It won't work with your iPhone, but it'll sit inside the dock, which is cool.
That's all I wanted to try, so shut the fuck up, man.
So, it works. With this thing, basically the Mogo Pro controller, first off, I'm going to tip my hat to Moga. They actually had me review the initial Moga Mobile. And I was pretty hard on it, mainly because it didn't do half the shit I wanted it to do, and you had to download games out of their app store, and their PR agent didn't like me very much, and I apologize for that. But I wasn't really a fan.
Fuck those guys.
Yeah. Well, no, but they took everything that I bitched
for the free
about.
Shit. Yeah.
But they took everything that I bitched about on the first one. Are you running out of your dick? What are you doing?
This podcast is too much.
So basically I bitched a lot, and they updated a whole bunch of shit, and they came out of the gates with the single greatest phone accessory on the planet.
Are you taking credit for this?
No, I'm not. I'm giving them credit. I'm giving them credit for building something amazing. And
sure, Tom.
Whatever. So they instead of discovering ass raping ghosts, they patched all this stuff and just made it incredible. So the first thing that drove me crazy is the first thing I think of when I see a controller for an Android phone, I think, holy God, emulators, let's do this. And still, to their credit, on their help section, it actually says that the Mogo Pro does not support emulators at this time. Obviously, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of legal shit if they were to say it supports emulators. But all the emulators went ahead and patched their shit. And Moga did something very clever. They put an A and a B mode in their new line. So B mode is an HID compliant controller, which what that means is literally any game can be controlled by B mode. And it'll work as well as the game is programmed to work. Because of that, it works with all the emulators. So by the end of the day, by about Tuesday night, about midnight, I had a PlayStation 1 emulator running on my phone playing Symphony of the Night, Chrono Cross, Final Fantasy. I had an N64 emulator running Legend of Zelda. I played Mario 64 for like 3 hours. Just a whole bunch of stuff there. And then I got the Super Nintendo side of it going as well. So literally any game that you would want in a classic genre... Minus PS2. I didn't figure out PS2, but I've got running on a phone for a controller that costs $60.
Badass.
And even better, the controller actually has an 1800 milliamp battery built into it. So with that, you can actually charge your phone from the controller's battery while you're playing. Because if anything, emulating like freaking wrecks your game, your battery. I literally like 4 hours battery life playing Mario. Done. I killed my thing so fast. So just a really cool thing that honestly, if you have an Android phone or an Android tablet, and that's my next thing is I almost want to get rid of my iPad and go find like a 10-inch Android tablet so that I can be carrying a Super Nintendo TV screen around with me everywhere I go. But just super rad, and it works with almost every other game I've played, so it's made a lot of games I wouldn't normally play on my phone games that I actually really want to play.
I was going to ask Tom, does it heat up?
It doesn't. My phone does a little bit. The controller's fine. Mm-hmm. Depending on your phone, like I'm using the HTC One. It's a solid body of steel, so it gets a little warm. Mm-hmm. But other than that, no. And actually really like greater ergonomic design, really comfortable. The newer one actually has dual analog and the D-pad. It's really a freaking slick design.
Yeah, it looks dope.
I'm stoked on it. And I mean, we took it as far as I had an old Moga Pro controller from their last line. I gave it to Rich, my kind of gaming partner in crime for most of the stuff I try to do. And within 3 minutes, he was playing Grand Theft Auto 3 on his phone flawlessly using this controller. He was playing a bunch of first-person shooters. And the nice thing is they actually have games that can be built for Moga, and there's an actual dedicated Moga store. And the great thing is you find this game, hey, it works on Moga, I want to download it. It actually, you can do it through Moga directly, or it'll kick you over to the Play Store and just download it through the Play Store. And there's free games you can buy, but these ones that are coded for Moga, actually built to work with the controller, so their interface is perfect, everything flows really well. It's really sick.
Dude, that's badass.
And they've got a couple different models. The one that I like the most is the $60 one. It's the Moga Hero. A little bit smaller, works with all of your phones. Yeah, it's the one that these guys are passing around right now, which you can't see. But then there's the Moga Pro, which actually has like the big handles, and it's really a nice, comfortable one. It actually comes with a tablet stand, which is sick, so you can stick your tablet on it. Pretty baller. So I just wanted to talk about that. Like, it's
that sounds pretty cool.
It's really literally exciting. It's transformed my phone from just being my phone to I'm gaming on my phone nonstop all the time.
I'm gonna have to go home and go to sleep, but I'm not going to. I'm gonna be fucking around with this thing.
Yeah, and so I gave Kylie one of the old ones. He's got his Android tablet. He's gonna be pairing it up to. And in the break, we were playing just Lord of the Rings just to see how it works. And I mean, literally within 5 minutes, we had it up and running. Just boom, and. Hats off to the emulator guys. Like, PlayStation 1 emulation, when I was trying to do it 5 years ago, was a pain in the ass. And literally, I downloaded an app. It had the PS1 BIOS ready for me. I uploaded the BIOS, or I told it to run the BIOS, downloaded the game, extracted it, done. You know, the longest part of it was actually waiting for the 1 gigabyte file to download to my phone.
That's pretty cool.
So, pretty sick stuff. We just live in a really cool age. And for gaming, with all the next-gen console and all the craziness going on, I'm actually pretty content right now to just jam on Super Nintendo games for a few weeks and unwind.
That makes... I almost want to segue to a little bit of a discussion.
Sure.
Just a short one.
That's fine. Go ahead.
Chris and I talked about this a little bit, and we've talked about it here some, but it feels like with video games, you're... And this, the point I'm getting to, I'll come to. Yeah. But video games, you've got these studios that are trying to put out a game every year. So you've got Call of Duty every year.
Right.
Batman Arkham every year. Mm-hmm. And from that, like a decent game takes 3 years to develop, and they're doing it on a 2-year cycle because, like Call of Duty, they'll do 2 years of this guy working on Ghosts, and then the next one is this other development studio.
Are they still doing that?
Yes, they are.
I stopped following Call of Duty after Modern Warfare 2. So
they are, and the reason I know it is because some of the developments
Infinity
they did.
Ward and
Infinity Ward's a whole new studio.
But there's two development teams,
right?
And so
bouncing.
The stuff that these guys innovated on the game last year isn't in the current game because they were working on it when this came out.
Yeah.
And so things that people love here aren't in this game. But anyhow, the point being is that they're chasing their tails and you're not getting the quality and you're getting these games with bugs like Battlefield 4, which is fun, but is buggy.
We're going to talk about that.
Exactly. So I thought this would be a good segue. Battlefield 4, which is a little bit buggy. Arkham, which is super fucking buggy. It sounded like the day one patch essentially like broke the game. I don't know if you read much about it.
I've had a lot of friends playing it that haven't run into that, but
so like it killed save files. There's some fast transport through the levels. It broke some of those so they don't work. Buttons will stop working in the game. The game will it'll do a hard freeze to where you can't turn it off with the button. You have to unplug your console.
My God.
And that was like day one, and that's the point I'm getting around to is and then you've got Nintendo that's just, I don't even consider them a part of this console war. Because Nintendo's over here saying, you know what, this game's not ready. It'll be out when it's ready.
Right.
And I'm not saying they don't release games that have bugs.
Pokemon did have a bug day one.
I'm not saying they don't have games that have bugs, but
You're right.
That their games hold up to this test of time, such as
where. And I say, like, a lot of it's nostalgia, but I would honestly say, like, something that I've been really, really into lately, and I probably should have been this way, but honestly, I'm getting to a point of, like, you know what? Like, fuck it, go indie. I've had so much fun reviewing indie games lately. Really cool group of guys. what is the name of this? Scientifically Proven Studios gave us a copy of Blood of the Werewolf, which is this giant fucking Castlevania homage that was just sick, dude. It was so good. And, I mean, you're a girl that is a werewolf and your son gets kidnapped and now you're going after the bad guys, whoever they may be. And it's, I mean, you're fighting old school monsters like you fight Hyde. And it's this really, like, cheesy kind of battle, but it's not, the battle isn't, like, fighting, it's not about power-ups. It's literally about, he does different patterns and assault things, and you have to dodge, and you're dodging shit falling from the ceiling and then jumping over him and hitting him as much as you can. It's like that old Metroid-style fighting where you're having to figure it out. And it's a $10 game. 6.5 hours straight of me just jamming on this thing because it was so much fun.
Badass.
You know, and for $10, you can't go wrong. Or we just did a stream of Final Exam, which actually comes out next week. It's a side-scroller zombie hack and slash, but it's multiplayer. You can buy a quadruple pack on Steam because it's four-player for $30, or the game's 10 if you buy it solo. And it, you pick your guy, you're running left to right, up and down, and you're just beating the shit out of zombies with different weapons. You can do air juggles and combos. And Rich and I played that for an hour and a half on stream, just having a blast. Mm-hmm. And it's really a basic game, but it's so much fun. And I think you're absolutely right when you say, same with the Super Nintendo stuff. I've been playing Mario World. I'm about 8 hours into Mario World. I'm not done with the game. And to give you guys an idea of how much Mario World I played as a kid, I beat the game with the 100% completion like 7 times in my youth. I know everything about Mario World, and going back to it, you know, it's been about 10 years since I've played it through, and it's an 8-hour, 10-hour playthrough for a Super Nintendo game that's,
well, they had
100 megabytes, 10 megabytes? No, it's like 10 megabytes.
They had an EA executive, I want to say it was EA, that said that, like, Mario Brothers is dead and it doesn't mean anything to the industry. It was EA, wasn't it?
I think it was the EA guy. Those guys say a lot of stupid shit.
But they had said something along those lines, and so it's kind of a backlash. I think it was IGN. They interviewed all these different people in the game industry now that talk about how Mario Brothers is, like, the perfect game. If you have ever built a game or want to build a game, you start off with Mario Brothers with your own game. Like, the same mechanics, the physics, everything you learn from gameplay comes from Mario. Anyhow, so I think that could be a good, like, we just got Battlefield 4, and for me it was kind of back-to-back. I got Batman, and Arkham City was my favorite game last year, and then I get this Arkham Origins, and it's an okay game, it's a good game, but it's really buggy because of this development cycle. I'm like, okay, whatever. And getting freezes, I'll just wait for the patch. No big deal. I'll put it on the back burner.
But at the same time, how much does that suck? And
it was $60.
Yeah, you paid $60, and now you're waiting for the patch. Like, I actually didn't, this is the first Batman game I didn't. By day one, not 100% by choice, more by budget, and I have 5,000 other games to deal with right now. But
it probably worked out in your favor.
Yeah, but I mean, it did, and that's sad because I think the Batman games are art. So anyway, go on.
So you had that happen, and then Battlefield 4 comes out, and they've improved on a lot of things, but it's buggy and it has its issues. And then I didn't buy it, but a few days later, you have Call of Duty, which is getting rated lower than any of the other games because they're getting called out on these things finally. I mean, it's issues they've had before, but
they're finally getting,
with these development cycles, they're putting out the same fucking game. And this time, the issue that Battlefield 4, Batman, and Call of Duty has is they're developing for 6 consoles right now. Mm-hmm. 360, well, PS3, PS4, Xbox One, Wii U, and a PC.
Well, and if you want to take it even further, like, into the next-gen thing, I was having a pretty good discussion with Rich yet again, but there's a huge, they're calling it like 720 gate or some shit like that, but on the Xbox One, Call of Duty is running at 720. Well, they're trying to get Call of Duty running on the PS4 at 1080 at 60 frames a second, and they can't do it. And truth be told, it's not because the game probably doesn't have the potential and the hardware's not there. It's because they're trying to push the limits of a new console already, where they probably just don't fully understand the architecture yet.
I heard they were having trouble even hitting that with the PC, though. Just Call of Duty inherently was not put together well, this new one.
Yeah, and they're struggling with this, and people are freaking out, and it's...
But I want to...
It is what it is.
Since it's on the agenda, I want to talk about Battlefield.
Yeah, go for it. I haven't played it. I know before the podcast you were mentioning that, like, you'll get out of a multiplayer lobby and the game will just shut down.
Okay, so I'm going to throw this out there. I, thus far, am not impressed with Battlefield 4.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean...
I wouldn't say I'm unimpressed. I'm not, like, disappointed, because... I don't know if you remember, but Battlefield 3 was really buggy when it came out.
I do recall that, especially because I even played the beta for Battlefield 3. Yes. So I played through that shit, and that there was some, you know, if you were part of the beta, I mean, of course it's a beta, but, you know, it was kind of like there was days where the beta wasn't even playable just because of shit that they were trying to fix.
And we need to take into account too that beta is very different in gaming world than it is in other worlds. Beta in gaming world, like an alpha build of a game, is very, very functional. And then a beta build of a game isn't complete, but it's very solid. A beta, if they're letting people play a public beta, it's not gold, but it's that's just right. locked down.
But mm-hmm. so Battlefield 4 came out, and I'll be honest, like it kind of snuck up on me. Haven't played much of the video games as of late. I'm kind of a social gamer. Like I like to play with my friends, and Luke, you've been doing the StarCraft thing and stuff. So it kind of snuck up on me, and I was like, oh yeah, Battlefield 4. So went out and got it earlier this week. Or was it last week?
Last week.
And I don't know. So first off, I plugged in. Here was my initial reaction, is that it didn't look as nice as Battlefield 3.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's me having watched so many videos of it running on PC and Xbox One and PlayStation 4 that my expectation was skewed and not appropriate for it being on the 360. But at the same time, Chris kind of mentioned too that he's seen other things where it's like
right.
people are saying this doesn't even look as good as the last game. So maybe they cut some corners and maybe
it seems like the maps are a little more like what happens in the maps too. Maybe they had to sacrifice the look of the game right. to make the ships crash into things and yeah. buildings. And
well, and there's a lot of cool things like that, but, it seems like DICE kind of got in their own way with some things. The new menu system bugs the shit out of me. For one, we haven't even figured out how to party up yet.
Right.
you know
if
what
you
I mean?
Even like, can.
Or, yeah, to get into a squad so we can go from game to game together. It's one of us has to get into a game and then invite the other one, and then it kind of parties you together and you can go from game to game. But so there's that functionality that even if it's there, they haven't made it user-friendly because mm-hmm. we're not stupid. We're pretty savvy when it comes to this stuff, and we can't figure it out for the life of us. The inability to adjust your loadouts in anywhere in the menu, you have to go into either a game or go into the training field, and then you can access your loadouts to change them up. Otherwise, you have to do it on a PC
right.
Or on your smartphone or tablet with the Battlelog app. I don't care for that much. I don't know, a couple little nitpicky things. It just doesn't seem to be running as smoothly. Like we've all you, me, and JJ have all experienced console resetting crashes mm-hmm. Just simply because a match ended. Like, you know, it came out into the score screen and one of us had to reset our consoles.
Well, see, that was, I don't know if you remember, but that did happen on Battlefield 3 quite often.
Right, but I don't think it makes it okay, right? I mean,
oh, no, I'm not saying yeah. it makes it okay. I think for us, Chris and I talked about this. I think we had much lower expectations for Battlefield 3. And at the time,
it was a new franchise for us.
Well, and we were done with Halo. There were no other games. And we were more willing to be like, yeah, let's try it out. And yeah. right now is much harder because you've got like the Wii U. I've got games sitting on StarCraft. There's a lot of other things going on. It's not a, well, there's nothing else to do. So let's stick with Battlefield till it gets better.
Yeah.
It's harder to justify these bugs.
Yeah. And I mean, I want to stick with it because there's a lot of cool stuff in there. I just hope that... Here's my biggest concern with Battlefield 4 is that with the launch of the PS4 right around the corner and the Xbox One in a couple of weeks, right?
2 weeks.
2 weeks and PS4 in 1 week. Right?
PS4. So by the time this podcast out, they'll both be out. But
right.
the 15th is PS4, 22nd is Xbox One.
So my biggest concern for Battlefield 4, and it almost gives me a little bit of buyer's remorse for it, is once those new consoles come out, are they going to throw as much support at the 360 version? Do they have like a dedicated team for that that's going to fix some of these problems and continue to support it through a reasonable lifespan for it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or is it going to be they've just kind of thrown this out there for the 360 people that don't want to upgrade right away to keep us satisfied, but you're really not going to get the most out of the game and they're not going to fix some of the problems with the 360 version because they're focusing on this the Xbox One and PS4?
To be honest, I think it would be that both would just suffer because I think that they're going to have to try to develop for both. I don't think they would pick one or the other. I think they would say, all right, well, we're going to try to fix because the freezing issue is probably going to happen on both.
Right.
But then because they're splitting their efforts across the six consoles.
Right. And that's my concern in which, you know, my concern is that they're going to say, well, we're going to stack more resources against the future than,
sure,
you know what I mean? Which kind of sucks for those of us that aren't really wanting to shell out $400 right out of the gate for any new console.
Or five.
Yeah, 500, you know? So, I don't know. I have a lot of concerns about it. I want to play it more. I've been playing it on my own a little bit more. Had some awesome moments with it. You know, there's a part where a battleship, you know, as the level goes on, a typhoon rolls in over these tropical islands, and a aircraft carrier crashes into an island, and it actually took out a helicopter for me as it crashed in. It was just one of those random
things. It's definitely got Battlefield moments,
yeah,
still.
Yeah, for the multiplayer and stuff. I haven't played a single second of the single player campaign yet. I don't know if I really planned to. I mean, I'm sure one day...
I skipped it in the first.
Yeah, I played it in the first, and it was fun enough. I mean, it's your typical Call of Duty, Battlefield, you know, pretty much on-the-rails shooter. You know, it's going to take you through some levels. Have some cool, you know, Michael Bay action movie moments. But, you know, I'm sure I'll get bored one random Saturday and, you know, play through some of the campaign or something. And if it keeps my interest, I'll keep going. But I don't know. I'm just haven't been that impressed with it. Unfortunately, I was pretty excited to plug it in, and just from the second I fired it up, I don't know. I haven't been that excited about it, but I've pretty much taken the whole time talking about it. What do you think of it?
I don't know. It's kind of funny. I have a different perspective of it. One of my friends I work with, Peter, he was who kind of got me into StarCraft somewhat, like Chris and I, where we started playing at lunch. And he told me at the time, he's like, you know, to be honest, first-person shooters, those, they don't really do it for me anymore, and I keep coming back to StarCraft. And I thought, well, that's cool, I'll play it, but I don't think that's going to happen to me. I really like playing with my friends and stuff. And so when we play Battlefield, it's just like a completely different game. It's still fun, but it's almost like playing Mario Kart, where it's like, well, if we win, cool. If we don't, whatever. It's you just playing and having fun and waiting for those Battlefield moments where I fucking slam a helicopter into three guys because I didn't have bullets or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I end up, we get hop off of Battlefield and I keep finding myself going back and playing StarCraft. And I went back to work and I told Peter to go fuck himself. I was like, Peter, you were right, man, because it's the competitive play and what you have to do is such a different tier. That for me, that's where Battlefield's falling for me is... It's not as challenging and as ingraining where StarCraft, you know, everything you can do at once, all your thought process is dedicated to this game. So that the challenge I keep going back to for that. But playing social, it's fun to hop on and talk still. Maybe that's why the bugs don't bother me as much, because it's a social thing. Like, oh, I'll hop on and bullshit with JJ and, oh, froze. I didn't get to win the round, whatever. Who gives a shit? I'll come back next time.
And, yeah, I definitely find myself being a little bit less competitive about it. I don't know. Maybe we're just fucking growing up and got more important shit to be doing. Like, I don't know, because it's like...
I don't. I'll tell you why I'm not growing up, but finish your thing.
Well, no, but I mean, like, lately I've had more fun, like, having people over to play Injustice and stuff like that, you know, in a more face-to-face social interaction.
Yeah.
So, you know, life is so busy now that, you know, when we get an opportunity to do that, that face-to-face interaction is nice. So it's like, you know, with Injustice coming out with their special edition that comes with all the characters and all that shit, you know, I'm worried, oh, great, now we're not going to get any new content for that. So when's
Injustice? Yeah, that game's probably done.
Yeah, so when's Injustice 2 coming out, you know, or whatever. But
with the
Battlefield stuff, it's like, you know, I get on there and I play it and I have a good time. But honestly, like, my biggest concern is, like, you're doing the StarCraft stuff now. My buddy who I normally play Call of Duty with on the PlayStation, he's getting a PS4, so he's going to be playing that on PS4. I'm not investing in a PS4 anytime soon.
Right.
So, I mean, really, like, my gaming hours, where it used to be like, oh, I'm going to pay $60 for this game, but I'm going to get, you know, 4 or 5 hours of playtime out of this a week, you know, from playing with people, where it's like, it's dropping down to might be 2 hours a week, you know, it's like, well... That leads into, is it even worth buying this game? Which leads into, is it worth even buying an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4?
Sure. No, I completely get that. And that's on the subject, real quick before Tom goes, of like growing up and stuff. You guys want to hear a StarCraft story that's very similar? It has an inappropriate language and slurs.
Nice.
So StarCraft, you can talk to each other in game with the typing chat. Just a message pops up. So I play against the different races, and I was playing against... I was Terran playing against a Protoss.
I took that totally in the wrong way.
I'm going to lose Kylie along in a couple ways. So I got beat by this guy, and he was a real prick, and he was just being a dick messaging me, just like when we play Halo and people were talking trash. So I was frustrated, and I started a new round against a new Protoss guy. And generally, like, good manners, you say GLHF, which is good luck, have fun. It's just kind of like, hey, you know, best of luck to you. So we started playing the game, and I don't remember how he started talking to me more, but I was like, oh, I'm glad that you're not a douchebag. The last guy I played was a complete douchebag. He's like, oh, that sucks. You know, I've gone through that. And we're just having a cordial, nice conversation, right? All the meanwhile, I'm teching up. I get these units called Reapers. I got three of them, and I snuck them into his base. And at the same time, he'd done what's called a proxy, where he builds certain production buildings near my base so he doesn't have to walk as far, so he can do an earlier attack. It's kind of like an all-in, because if I catch it, he's fucked. So he does that and gets to my front, and I end up being able to defend it, but at the same time, these three units of mine are in his base just destroying everything. And so we go from cordial conversation where we're just talking to he tells me, well, you must be some kind of a nigger. And I'm just like, what? Where did this come from? And then he said, what kind of fucker builds three Reapers and drops them in my base at this minute mark? And so I told him, this motherfucker, and just...
Yeah, this motherfucker that won the match.
Destroyed him. So, boom. Like, as far as the child thing, and then it got, like, worse and worse from there. It's just on StarCraft now. I'm not any more grown up, Tyson.
Well, no, but I mean...
The game's getting boring and not holding your attention.
Yeah, it's just... I don't think
you can fault Battlefield for the fact that all your friends are playing different games, though. Like,
no, I don't fault Battlefield for that at all. Like, I fault
right now what we're in, this console generation, because we're going from one to the other, and instead of Xbox One having new games, all of these publishers are afraid to lose any money, so they're straddling Xbox One, PlayStation 4, whereas Battlefield 4, in my opinion, should have been Xbox 360 or Xbox One.
Yeah.
Pick one or the other, and then make it that strong game. Or if you're done with this console generation, you know.
Yeah, move it forward.
They're trying to cast too wide of a net.
Right.
The thing is, those AAA, these big, massive studios, they have to. Because they have, like, you know, and I always go back to this point. It was the founder of Crytek, I believe. People were asking, well, you know, what sets your studio apart from some of these major publishers, major studios? And he's like, you know, honestly, one of the reasons why we can do what we do and be happy, if I do 3 million in sales on a game, I'm fine. I don't have a world headquarters.
Sure.
And HR. I mean, I have an HR, but it's one person. I have 40 people on staff. So if I do 2 million in sales, I'm successful. Something that, you know, EA has to think about is, you know, they've got Redwood Shores, EA Salt Lake, EA...
Everything's got to be a blockbuster.
Yeah, if they make a game for 5 million, they've got to... This game has to make them enough money to pay for all of their shit, especially if it's a massive title. And so they have to try to straddle that strategically to make the money to do it. But anyway, we've had this conversation before. I just wanted to bring that up. Like, that's why.
That might somewhat tie in. I wanted to mention Nintendo and what some of they're doing, because we've talked about it. Nintendo's having some troubles with the Wii U, and they've recognized a lot of what they're doing. And what people, I think, need to understand too is a company is like a big ship, like a big battleship. Mm-hmm. It's not, you can't turn on a dime, so they have to make little decisions. They're committed to the Wii U. They can't change the hardware, but they can change the price point. Yep. Which they did. And then something else that I think is genius is their bundling. So you can buy a Wii U
multiple bundles.
Yeah, 300
bucks, which I haven't seen in a long time with Nintendo. Right. 300 bucks, you can get it with Mario Brothers. You can get it with Zelda, which is two of their huge franchises, or three being Skylanders, which is taking off like wildfire.
Yep. And I think it's really, really good of them to do it. I feel like they are spread a little bit thin. But I find it to be pretty impressive that they're aiming at that kind of an audience and doing it that way, because it's smart. The other thing that kind of shocked me was the Wii Mini.
I think that's brilliant, in my opinion.
It is. It's brilliant and terrible all at the same time, but it's brilliant in the way of, you know, and Rich made a good point to me, because I was like, this is fucking bullshit, especially for $30 more when I can just buy a Wii. But if you price everything out, Mario Kart is 40 bucks.
Yep.
A Wiimote and Chuck is 55. So that's $95. Basically, you're getting the Wii for $5. So if you happen to need those three items, you might as well buy a Wii Mini and have an internet-free Wii somewhere else in the house, right?
Yeah, and that's the only difference is it won't play GameCube and it doesn't get on the internet. So virtual console stuff, you can't do.
Fuck them.
But if you want to play any Nintendo game, say, and I think why I think this is smart is part of the, to go in with their bundles. Mm-hmm. You got a kid that's 5 or 6 wants a console, or you want to get a console to play with him. You've got $500 Xbox, $400 PlayStation, $300 Wii U, or $100, and it's got a game and a controller.
Yeah.
Well, like and let's think about it realistically. The Wii's online capabilities were never that great.
They weren't, but the virtual console miss is what hits it for me.
Well, right. Okay. But right. That's fine. But like Luke said, like someone who maybe they want. Like, maybe their kid wants a Wii in their room and stuff like that. You know, it's $100. You get the game and everything like that. Okay, you know, the kids that this is probably aimed towards, they don't have the nostalgia factor over the virtual console games, right? They want the current Mario Kart. They want the current Mario Brothers. The online experience on the Wii was dog shit, in my opinion. So that being wiped out of it, meh.
Yeah. Fuck it. But
I think it's they're making some good moves. And then something else I wanted to mention... They've made a game that's a Link to the Past sequel.
Link Between Worlds.
Yeah, so Link Between Worlds.
22nd.
Which is super exciting. I read a bit about it today, and they had the 5-hour playthrough. You can so they're going back to the original game somewhat, but there's less hand holding, and so there's the 8 dungeons, and you can play them in any order you want. Yep. And instead of getting the item in the dungeon, there's this one character that has a house, and you rent the items.
Yep.
So you can choose to do them in any order. But part of where the difficulty comes in, that you can choose to play it your way or a different way, you can rent, say, any item for 50 rupees, and your wallet doesn't have a limit anymore. So you rent an item for 50 rupees, or you can buy it for 400. Now, you can rent all of the items at once if you want, and then you have access to all the places in the world. The risk is when you've rented an item, when you die, you lose the items and you have to re-rent them. If you bought them, you keep them and you can even upgrade them. But if you've rented them, you lose them. So if you're a hardcore Zelda player, you can gamble more and get everything at once and try to keep playing.
Well, and I think the fact is...
It sounds like they're hitting all the right marks with
this. Well, and the Zelda creator was quoted, and I can't remember where they quoted him. It was like an industry quote or something, but he basically said... We don't want to follow the same formula for Zelda anymore.
Right.
And it's about fucking time. And I'm so excited to see that hit. And I think Nintendo's doing all the right strides. It's just going to take...
It's a big ship.
It's a big ship to turn.
Yeah.
You know, whether the Wii U... And we actually... And I hate to plug something else, but we have a really good debate about what is successful, right? And how are you going to measure success? And it really is relative, I think. And... That's something that they'll look at. But I really think that, like I said, riding the ship will take time. But... I still think the Wii Mini is stupid, but...
I think it's stupid, but...
It has a niche market.
Yeah, it's
just
not
like
for
the 2DS,
you.
I think the 2DS is a fucking horrible piece of shit, and Rich does too, except that Rich bought one. Quote me on that. He bought one. I've seen him playing
on it. Well, see, that's something that bugs me. We've talked about in the contrib group, people that are, like, dogging on the 2DS. The 2DS isn't for you.
It's not. It's for a niche market,
kids.
And it's working.
Yeah, it's for kids that can't use the 3D anyhow, that beat the shit out of their stuff.
Yeah.
So, but that's just all I have to say about it. But they're doing a really good job. Before we jump to break, I just want to talk about a really cool app. Did you play?
Yeah, it's Zelda.
It is. It's called It'll Do.
I don't get the fucking name.
I don't either. It's
It Will Do.
Well, the developers, I think, pretty sure based out of like Sweden. Yeah, but it's Zelda, but instead of very similar to the rental system, there's a pirate, this asshole pirate, who you go into. You're exploring a castle, and you go into the castle, and you solve a puzzle, and you find a chest, and the chest has money. Then use that money to buy your next item to progress you further in the castle.
Is this a mobile?
Uh-huh. It's a mobile game. It's out. It's what, $3 on iOS. It's not listed on Android yet, so I don't think Android is quite hit yet. But it's $3 on iOS. But it's hella fun. I am having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, it's not really the type of game I play on my mobile device, but that doesn't say that it's not a good game. I see the draw of it. I'm more of the hop in and play for 10 minutes and hop out type of guy. Yep. Or, you know, if I'm going to play longer than that, it's usually like the Endless Runners or something like that. Yeah. You know, some competition stuff. But it's a great kind of like... Since Nintendo's not porting any games over to iOS or these mobile systems anytime soon, it's nice to see some of these games, even though they could perhaps be perceived as quote unquote ripping off these types of things.
Fun.
I'd say it's more of an homage.
Probably being inspired by.
And the game has it. The game has a really good sense of humor. Like instead of a fairy, you have this flying like
dog thing,
dog fox. Cat fox thingy, yeah. And he's got it. It's funny,
kind of an asshole.
Yeah, and his image is like him holding this half drank like potion vial. And at one point in the game, you're like, "What the hell is that?" And he's drinking. He's like, "Oh, it's my potion." And you're like, "Oh, cool. Can I have some?" And he kind of gives you this look. He's like, "It's not for you, kid." And you're like, "You drunk fucker." Like there's just really fun kind of moments, or like the pirate will say shit to you, and you're like, "Bastard." Pirate. So no. It's fun, but I have to say the touch controls, because usually games like that have really shitty touch controls.
Yeah.
They work really, really, nice. Really well.
It's the on-screen D-pad.
Yeah. And
what's the price point?
$3 for iOS.
Does it have in-app purchases?
Not that I've seen. No, it's just an adventure game.
Cool.
Just,
yeah.
And the thing I like about it too is once you have a MOGA controller, wink, it's amazing. So that was kind of the selling point. I'm like, yeah, on screen it works really well, but I fucking hate on screen controllers.
Yeah.
And then I plugged my MOGA in, and all of a sudden I was like, I was like 8 hours in. It's just a fun game. So really cool. Just wanted to shout out to that because I had a lot of fun with it.
That sounds awesome.
Tyson kind of sort of did.
No. Like I said, it's not my bag, but it's definitely well made. But we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about some sexy time in video games. So stick around.
What up, Internet? This is Tom from the Entertainment is Dead podcast. And if you haven't had enough of me already, come on over to entertainmentisdead.com where you'll get some quality stuff like this.
Like, he took his game studio and he went home.
He's part of the Sriracha relocation program.
You got a hater.
You
I really
watched
just
it.
Don't want that to be the one that breaks my computer's cherry.
So you can come grab this dose of ridiculousness every Wednesday until the end of time. You can find us once again at www.entertainmentisdead.com, where you can stream the audio right off the site, on iTunes, also on Stitcher. If you want to communicate with us, you can reach us on Twitter at EIDpodcast. We're basically everywhere. We'll catch you guys there.
Welcome back to the Big Shiny Podcast. We are talking this week about video games, and we are going to have a discussion. I kind of wanted to talk about sex in video games. Not from a...
I smell sex in video games.
Okay, so where this is kind of coming from, we'll see where this conversation takes us, but...
it's going to take us to some wild places.
It was recently discovered that in Beyond Two Souls,
right.
If you hack the game...
Oh, it's a hack.
Do you want me to introduce it?
You go ahead and explain it. You're more...
Just since I researched the... A whole lot. Not to see her boobs or anything.
I bet you did.
A whole lot. He saw Ellen Page.
I think this is a very
right
interesting conversation to be had. So, Ellen Page stars in this video game with Willem Dafoe, Beyond Two Souls.
Which is amazing.
Right. So, there's a scene in the game. I haven't played it, but from what I understand, there's a scene where she's showering.
There's a couple scenes. There's a couple scenes where you think you're going to see.
She's showering in the game at some point.
But I have to say, there's a few scenes where you're like, shit, I'm going to see Juno naked. Please no, and then you don't. Thank God.
So she's naked at certain points, but the camera is handled in such a fashion, like a PG or PG-13 movie, that you don't see anything, right? Mm-hmm. So if you put a PlayStation 3 in debug mode,
Let me write this down.
Instructions.
So from what I understand, if you put a PlayStation 3 in debug mode, the way that this guy is Redditor, someone that posts on Reddit, you can move the camera around. So he moved the camera around, and it's a fully fleshed out model of Ellen Page with nipples and everything. So it's not like just a blank Barbie doll. There are features. And he took screenshots.
Shaved, not shaved.
I think that there's...
Let's get some detail here.
To be honest, I didn't...
I couldn't tell you.
Hold on, I didn't pull the article.
So, he posts these on Reddit, right? And then they take it off, as they would, like wildfire. And from that, Sony comes forward and says, you need to take these down. A, they're not Ellen Page's body.
Right.
B, they can be harmful to her and her career. And C, like, we'll sue this shit out of you, so knock it off, kind of a thing. But it's the internet, and the internet's written in pen, so it's out there. Yeah. So, where this gets interesting is...
shaved or not shaved.
She's known for having a no nudity clause in her... contracts. Like, she's like, I don't want to do nudity. My rights, I said not to. So in video games, where does that begin and end? So they built this 3D model, and it's content that's not supposed to be in the game.
It wasn't in the game.
But it's in the game, and a hacker was able to easily get it and take pictures, and probably someone older than our generation then saw these pictures and be like, well, there's Ellen Page naked, because it looks like her. Mm-hmm. So does she have a case if she wanted to sue them? And it kind of falls back on even like the hot coffee stuff from Grand Theft Auto. You're putting things into a video game. Where does the beginning end? Like a movie, it's just a static film. You see exactly what you see. But in a video game, there's lots of things that are just outside of your field of vision. So that's where...
I have a pretty firm opinion on this, but...
Uh-oh.
Let's hear it.
But I took some time to think on this, and I didn't research it at all, but I've really taken a lot of time to...
So you've... All right, you have so, a well thought
out. No. So,
he's
I mean,
thought on it, but he hasn't
well,
educated
I didn't research
himself.
The specific Ellen Page issue, because, once again, I don't want to see Juno naked. So what it comes down to me is, first of all, like, I know we had a discussion, and someone's like, oh, yeah, I bet some developers got fired. I don't think they did. And here's why. So when you look at someone who's a 3D animator or a modeler, and especially in gaming, right, their job is to make this model as lifelike and as real as possible. Now, I'm not saying that they found other nude pictures of Ellen Page and ripped them off and made this, but what I'm saying is, from an anatomic perspective, if you play that game, the way her clothes hang off her body, the way the clothes fit, the way everything flows, the way she interacts with the environment – that body model is all part of that. So that artist...
I want to counter him when
you
he's
can
done.
Counter me, because I'm not an artist. I'm saying, but that artist, in his mind, he was just making a generic...
But it's not
Ellen
the...
Ellen Pagey body to make it fit perfectly so that it ran into... So that it was...
I don't think the argument is on that it was a good model of, like, the human figure.
Right.
I think it's more that it was a fully fleshed out... With nipples and those textures.
Right, exactly.
It had those things ingrained on a person they had under contract that doesn't want nudity involved with
and
anything
nudity,
she's involved
and
with.
And the nudity wasn't in the game.
But
and
it
I
was
also,
in the game. Well, you no, can get to it.
Well, if you can set your system into debug mode.
But that's not hard to do. So that's the argument.
Is your PS3 in debug mode right now?
I don't own a PS3, Tom's. But that's
it's in the game, though. Like that.
It's in the game.
Was it intended
she
to be
shaved.
Seen?
Sorry, can
of
I say
this
real
not.
Quick? EA Sports. Sorry.
It's shaved.
It's in the game.
but that's it's my shaved. Point is like yeah. they have a contract with a celebrity.
Yeah, with a celebrity.
They're under contract not to have nudity, and it was in a place that someone could get it to. It'd be like saying that, you know, I don't know, the packaging of a VHS tape, if you did a certain thing to it, boobs came out of the lead character. Well, that wasn't intended. That's not how we made it. It just happened. You know what I mean? Like, it's still there. That
it is still
part
there,
of a product that they made has her naked in it.
Yes and no, though, because I really feel like it's along the lines of, like, the hot coffee mod from Grand Theft Auto, right?
That they
so
were in
what
the
is
wrong.
That? Explain that to me.
I don't think they were, because in order
Riley
to get
know
to
what
it,
the hot coffee
you had
mod
to
is.
Pull the source code and put in your own line of code to make this work out.
So in Grand Theft
you
Auto,
you had to patch it.
In Grand Theft Auto 4, doesn't matter.
It was 4.
So in one of the Grand Theft Auto games, they had
no
gone,
San Andreas.
They had gone down this path where you could take your character and your girlfriend or one of the girl characters would invite you in for coffee, and then you could have sex with her. Mm-hmm. And when you had sex with her, you could choose positions and do all kinds of crazy shit. And they decided that. With that, they wouldn't be able to get the rating or something, but they pulled it at some point and decided they didn't want it in the game. The sex scene where you're actually interactive sex. But they left it in the code base. Now, the ESRB is the ratings that go through and say this is teen, what have you. Yeah, and so way after the fact, someone, you know, however it hacks the game to get this code that's built into the game and does this. And so then the question is for the ESRB, well, wait a second. This is very much not a mature game. This is an adult-only situation now. But it's not something that they had up in front. So should they have not included the code? Where does it begin and end? And that's kind of this Ellen Page is a similar thing.
But once again, I say, where does it begin and end? So the code was there, but... So in order to do the hot coffee mod, and just to correct you, it wasn't actually like an interactive sex game. It was mostly implied sex with some extra stuff. But you had to have a modded Xbox. To do anything, you had a modded Xbox. You had to download a patch from this specific person.
Sure.
Install it. And then go through like a 3-hour series of events to make all of this happen.
Now, I think so, but I think that situation, while similar, is very different than a 3D model that you can debug and very quickly move the camera and see a character naked that someone has a contract that they don't be naked in your game.
So, by that, you can't compare the hot coffee model to what's going on with the Ellen Page thing then. Because
then let's talk about just the Ellen Page thing.
But realistically, I just don't think. I think if they took it to court, they would lose.
Well, I don't think so.
Here's the biggest difference. Here's the biggest difference for me between the hot coffee mod and and this Ellen Page thing, the hot coffee mod isn't anybody. Like, it's not the likeness of someone that they have signed a contract for them to use. It's computer models made up. It's no different than me drawing a person on a piece of paper right now. Ellen Page agreed for her likeness to be used in Beyond Two Souls.
And
I understand that they need to make a full body model, and I understand.
But they don't. Let me interrupt you. Joseph Pierman, one of the guys that commented on our site, that he's a 3D modeler, and he said that they don't do that. They don't do fully all the way to the nipples and everything.
But hold on. That's my point, as I was going to get to.
He's a 3D modeler.
I understand the advantage of perhaps making, you know, as far as like contours and stuff go, making that type of model. But adding stuff like the full body freckles and the nipples and shaved or not shaved and stuff like that, I don't see the advantage of that. That almost seems like, to me, this whole situation comes across as like some guys that just got together and like, oh, I wonder what she would look like naked. Like
that's something I didn't mention on, but the studio is actually out of Europe. And a lot of their games have dual releases, and the Europe ones usually have more like sex and those innuendo. So I would assume that the developers probably just were like, well, it's the human body. We're going to model it. She's got nipples. I don't think it was a pervy situation. I just think it was people that didn't think it through. And the discussion's more of whether or not she has a leg to stand on. I don't think a court is going to give a shit how this content is found or you're able to get to it. If there's pictures provided of her naked and she has a contract that she's not naked in this thing you created, but here's a version of her naked, I don't have her contract, so I can't say.
And I agree. And I just find it interesting that instead of blowing it up and making a huge deal out of it, it just kind of went boom, quick, silence, pulled. I don't think that the studio was in the wrong on this one. I think
Sony thought that they were based on how quickly they reacted and it had people pulling it.
Sure. I think it's one of those things where if you're going out to vilify somebody, they should definitely plan on someone putting their system in debug mode, whatever. But at the same time, like, at some point, technology is built in a way to be used. And you can't. I just feel like it's weird to hold a studio accountable because somebody is using their stuff incorrectly.
But that's kind of a weird privacy discussion.
It is.
Then
it
gets into like your webcam. Like, what if it's capturing you naked?
Well, but that's different. That's invasion of my privacy. This is.
That's invasion of her privacy. She had a contract that they couldn't have naked versions of her in the game.
Ellen Page naked.
I feel like you're arguing semantics that don't make sense.
I am arguing semantics, but it's a different argument.
Tyson, weigh in.
Here's my thought process on it. If I sign a contract for someone to make a realistic, lifelike 3D model of me for use in something, and I found out that for whatever reason they made a new version of it and it got out on the internet, whether they got that mole on the left side of my dick right or not, I'd still be pretty upset by it, right? Because now people who, okay, not that there's a lot of people out there wondering what I look like naked.
Apparently has a mole.
There's four, by the way, four.
But one, people two, out three, there yeah, who are four, wondering what I look like naked could now have some sort of facts. They don't know how accurate that is. For all they know, it could be 100% accurate. For some people not familiar with this process, they could think like, oh, well, she got naked and provided this 3D model for them to use, and so they could, you know, appropriately put her into the game, and the agreement was that they would put clothing on her and stuff. People may not know how this works. The fact is that they created a nude model of a celebrity who signed a contract saying, yes, you can use my likeness, and no, I'm not getting naked. You know, that's a standard clause. And they've created a naked 3D model that was, you know, maybe not accessible to your average person, but is accessible, and it's in the game down to, like, I mean, Kylie pulled up the picture. Like, there's details that are unnecessary if there wasn't ever going to be intended to be nudity in this.
It's my background now.
He loves having a smartphone.
So let me.
I don't want to keep going back to.
No, I want to take this further now, though. Not with this. Not semantics, because I'm really just trying to play devil's advocate and be an asshole. But here's my.
I will stab you with this drafting pen.
Why? Because you always do that shit. You're always devil's advocate. It's my turn. But here's my thing. I want to take this.
What?
You're an asshole.
What?
So I don't.
I'm an asshole. Go ahead.
All right. So no, really, what I want to take it to now is the big. All right. The big thing that this did, right, one of the big parts of Beyond Two Souls was this is one of the first times that for like a major AAA title that's not tied to a movie scenario, they're actually taking real actors, you know, real solid like celebrity actors.
Yeah, like A-list celebrities.
Yeah, A-list celebrities, and putting them into these amazing films and acting roles. So this whole scandal, how does that affect that for the future?
And that's part of what I worry about, that because she's kind of had a rough go with the video games. I know it wasn't as big of a deal as it was made out to be, but The Last of Us comes out, and she's like, that girl kind of looks like me, and I worry that it's going to affect how our game sells. And they're like, oh, sorry, we're going to adjust it, don't worry about it.
And then it still ended up kind of looking like her.
Well, yeah,
it was Ellen Page.
That was the first thing I said when I walked out.
Yeah.
And if you look at the picture of the girl they chose to do it, it wasn't Ellen Page, but shit, man. I mean,
it was her little sister.
It was her long lost sister. Yeah, for sure. So
the gal that's in Avengers.
I think this just sets a.
Because then she has like these bad experiences. Right. She's not going to want to come back to.
Yeah, so we're not going to get Ellen Page in video games anymore, most likely. So that's my question. So then we start looking at that. Okay, great. Now they're going to make so their amazing game where we could have some great acting talent. How does it affect it? And that's where I'm like.
Well, and that's the discussion I wanted to have. Is where do these contracts begin and end? Then the contracts are like, the 3D model of me can't have nudity.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think there's much difference between, I take a photograph of you. Okay. Do I own your likeness now?
Well, I think it could be even simpler. I think it could be even simpler than that, because we're talking about essentially what was used to create the game, but then wasn't in the final version of what they put out. Right.
Right.
So a movie, you film a movie and there are deleted scenes and different shots that don't get used. So maybe there was a sex scene in a movie, but you don't use any of the shots that show like the butt or the boobs
or anything like that. Right.
But fuck it, on the DVD, we're going to include all this deleted stuff.
You said butt fuck it.
So, you know what I mean? Then
this
stuff's out there, and maybe it's what if it's an Easter egg that a developer put in there that nobody was supposed to find, but then everybody found, and now there's naked versions of this celebrity Ellen Page in a movie DVD.
Right. Well, and I think the big part
it's
of that
it's still essentially the same idea.
Right, but legally I hate to go back to semantics, but I really think if there's a lawsuit, the lawyers defending Quantic Dream and Sony are going to argue intent, right? They might lose, but that's what they're going to argue.
I bet you anything happens, which it probably won't. If anything happens, Ellen Page would go to Sony, and Sony would say, "What do you want?"
Yeah,
no, and I agree. I'm just making.
Let me just kind of throw this thought.
And I know you wanted to talk about other sex stuff too.
No, we can stick on this. I don't give a shit.
Oh, more sex.
But
stuff?
Here's just one thing I want to bring up. Fucking Christ!
Jesus
really?
Christ! Like, why do we even?
3 weeks in a row.
Oh, that's a bad one. Might want to break on that.
One thing I wanted to bring up though is, like, let's take a photographer for instance, right? The Ackleys get together for a family portrait and they take the picture, right?
And then Lucas's dick comes in. I'm sorry. So they
take the picture. Now there's this whole like process of releasing the rights to those pictures.
Technically, the photographer owns the
photos. They own the rights to those photos, right? Unless usually in the contract, there's to what extent do you have rights to the photos? And because, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, okay, well, we took the picture and for this price, we'll take your picture and we'll give you 2 8x10 prints of the picture and that's it, right?
Right.
Others are like, for instance, for my wedding, it's we signed a contract saying that you're going to take all these pictures for our wedding and you're going to give us a disc of all these pictures and you're signing a copyright release so we can use these pictures however we want. I could print off 1,000 copies on my home printer if I want. I have that right now, right?
Right.
But if they didn't sign that, she owns the right to those pictures,
right?
And she could put them on her website as an
example. If she gets your permission, because it's your likeness.
Yep.
So it's
a weird. And so that's what I was kind of getting at, is it's kind of the same thing. Is like, she owns the right to the pictures, but doesn't own the right to your likeness, and she needs the permission to use your likeness. So it's like, do we apply that same type of thing to video games, right? Is,
yeah. It ends up being kind of a weird gray area.
Yeah.
And the thing that I think, if I could, I could sympathize with her with, you've got different celebrities that maybe aren't, I don't want to say they're not smart, but they take naked pictures of themselves. Like, how many different, you know, you had Christina Hendricks and Scarlett Johansson, all these different actresses that take pictures with their phone, and you think, well, Jesus Christ, you're a celebrity. Somebody's going to want naked pictures of you. Why have those exist?
Yeah.
So to go through all that effort as Ellen Page and make sure there's no nudity, regardless of people want to see it,
that she wants to
and some fucking developer does this outside of maybe the realm of your understanding of how the game is made.
Yeah. I just think
that
it's
would be pretty frustrating.
And I think, like Tom said too, I think there's something to be said about intent. You know, like why was the nude model to this detail created? You know, like I said, was it pervy intent of a guy, like some college guys dicking around? You know, I obviously they're not college, but you know what I mean.
Well, yeah.
Or was it like you said? It's, you know, maybe it's kind of a standard quote unquote procedure because like in they Europe. Don't know how the model's gonna. Yeah,
in well, Europe. In Europe, I think as we've discussed, sex isn't that big of a deal. So it's like, well, here's our.
So I mean,
but at the same time, they still have a pretty strict rating system on video games. I mean, they're right up there with us as far as
that studio has had more sexually involved releases of their game come out that wouldn't have. Past the rating system here for which, adults only way, versus you, him.
They're getting a killer version of Castlevania freaking collector's edition, so fuck them. But anyway,
whose titties are in that?
Nobody's, but it's like the Dracula's Tomb edition with like action figures and this whole setup. And
yeah, they're getting a similar thing with Zelda.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Anyway, so I guess, and then the other thing that gets even more hairy, because how does that work with international law? I mean, theoretically, Quantic Dream is French, so.
But if they have a contract with her, they have a contract with her.
Right, but it's...
It's still law-abiding. Sure it's just with where the court...
Right? Yeah.
But where you went with it is what I was thinking is, you know, are A-list celebrities now going to be like, wait a second, is everybody going to see my dick?
And like, that's a big concern, right? Like, I mean, suddenly Marky Mark's dick is plastered all over the next Max Payne game, and we're all sad. I mean,
but you're thinking, Ellen Page and Willem Dafoe, that's some A-list
actors. Oh, big deals.
Actors.
Huge deals. Yep.
That's some
and you got to think, like,
big storytelling coming.
Chances are, like, I mean, okay, I'm not a 3D modeler, but my guess is if you have... that's probably not even the right
term. You don't want to sit around and model dicks all day?
Yeah.
Go on.
I would imagine that the process probably involved maybe Ellen Page getting down to like a sports bra and
they put
shorts
a,
or something.
They put you in like a unitard.
Suit, right?
It's a unitard with all the different things that they scan.
Right.
So it's probably it's her body they scan.
Right. So,
and then they put texture on.
Yeah, the proportions are probably right.
It's not her
name. Right. So, but I mean, that's what I'm saying is like it's a pretty close approximation of what she probably looks like naked.
Well, and them saying that it's not her body, I think is probably bullshit. It may not be her acting out certain scenes.
Yeah.
But I'm sure the model is based on her body. Why would they pay to have her likeness if they weren't going
like,
to use
think
her
it sends,
proportions? And...
It sets a shitty precedence that, like you said, it's going to affect the gaming industry going forward with these types of cinematic games with celebrities coming in and allowing their likeness to be used.
Especially female celebrities.
Yeah, because there's, I mean, especially the gaming community, let's face it, it's a lot of pimply faced people sitting in their basements, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't think that it is, but it has that perception, which makes it...
And it furthers
that
perception.
It's not like those people
problem.
Don't exist, right? I mean...
Yeah, but it like Tom says, it furthers that... Because you look
it's
at ads for
like
you look at ads for Battlefield or Call of Duty and all these things. It's everybody, normal guys, just playing games, but it's still got that pervy perception to watch.
And truth be told, like, and I don't know who this Redditor is that posted it, but that guy probably is. I mean...
Well, if he took all that time to be like, I wonder if I could move
and
the camera.
And he went to the shower scene and did it. And then, of course, posted it to Reddit to show his internet victory. Like, come on, man.
No, I agree. And that's...
But that's, I mean, the studio should have just left it out because you have to, what is it, plan? You have to plan for the lowest common denominator, which happens to be the dude with his PS3 in debug mode and Ellen Page. Why would you want to see Juno naked?
That's nor here nor there.
No, that is here nor fucking there right now.
What?
If we're putting our cards on the table, we probably won't like
But if it wasn't that guy, it doesn't sound like it was that difficult. Kotaku had posted an article, because the pictures were pulled at that point, and they're like, they went through and verified, they're like, it took us about 5 minutes, and we verified, you can definitely do this very easily. So that's where, like, if it wasn't him, some other perv probably would have been like,
Jimmy, we're looking at you.
He doesn't have a PlayStation. He would have borrowed your PlayStation.
That's all. That's my other thought. Is like, thanks for giving the gamers. Thanks for furthering our stereotype.
So yeah, even if she doesn't have a case, it does make it.
It does make
worrisome
it does.
For actors in the future. I don't know.
And as far as the strip clubs in GTA 5 go,
you can. The thing that bothers me is the nudity. Like, we just talked about how it was a big deal for Ellen Page because of the contract, but nudity in general versus like the violence in Grand Theft Auto. And the strip club is, you know, what do you call it?
Duke
where they're
Nukem
like putting down
though.
Women and you're
gratuitous
treating.
And...
Well, yeah, it's like furthering stereotypes.
Right,
but it bothers me that in video games nudity is such a huge deal, but you can just fucking like murder people, no problem.
And
you know?
That's
well, but it's
kind of like
with any media, though, right? I mean, you watch network television, right? So even to kind of, let's go back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for 2 seconds, right? They're killing people in that show. There may not be splashes of blood and stuff, but when they're in a firefight, people are dying, right?
Right.
A parent watching this with their 12-year-old who really likes Captain America and the Avengers and wants to watch this show that's on TV related to that, you know, they're probably not even batting an eye that their 12-year-old's watching this, right? But if you were to put a little side boob on that show, oh my God, they would be picketing, you know, their nearest, you know, city hall. And
well, like, even to that point, shit. You watch, like recently I started watching Adventure Time more. JJ's been harassing me for a while. And I've been watching it. It's actually really funny. But that's, they kill each other. They slice each other up. Well, no, you both can go fuck yourselves. Yeah. Probably, but the point I'm making is like the violence in the cartoon, not a big deal. Like they kill people and cut people's heads off and all kinds of crazy shit. But if they had any kind of nudity, holy shit.
It's this weird kind of, double standard maybe isn't the right word for it. But that's just kind of like with the GTA 5 stuff was what I was bringing up is that, you know, for years, I mean, how many congressmen and senators and all this stuff, they point to Grand Theft Auto as the root of all evil for, you know, these generations because you're carjacking and killing hookers and stuff. And it's like, but really, like, some of the biggest outrage that they have right now is the fact that they finally actually put some boob in the video game that's intended to be in there. You walk into a strip club, you see the pixel boobs. And that's a huge fucking problem.
And it's a game for adults.
Yeah, it's almost like that's what finally put, like, they've hated the game for years, and now that there's actual nipple in there, now they're like, okay, this is fucking line. Yeah,
here's the issue I have with that, too, is, like, you know, and this will go with an announcement we got from the ESRB about 3 weeks ago, but the ESRB has actually done some really great stuff to regulate gaming. And there's stuff that really, when I worked in that side of the industry, drove me fucking crazy. But...
Well, from what I've read, it's the highest rated rating system.
Yeah.
Like, and people love it.
They have a mobile app. So if you're standing at insert video game store here and your son's like, I want this or daughter, I want this game. And you're as a parent like, well, I'm fucking clueless. All I do is eat Cheetos and watch Marvel. I don't know.
Yeah.
And
I love Cheetos.
You can literally pull up the fucking app, which most of these game stores now have like a link. Hey, get the app here, motherfucker. Scan this QR code. Go to the website.
Right, right.
And you can go, okay, this game is rated mature for the following items, which means... And it'll line item why they rated it. And when you can go, okay, I don't want my 10-year-old, 8-year-old, 15-year-old playing this. So at some point, like, and honestly, like, I have really issue with regulations and our politicians and art forms anyway, but at some point, like, you have to let people be fucking stupid. And you can't come out here and throw a fit as a politician, but Grand Theft Auto's evil and we need to ban it. Guess what? It's whatever you feel about it, it's rated, the content is listed, you know what you're getting into, and you get fucking ID'd when you buy it. It's harder to get that. You could probably get OxyContin easier than you can get a rated mature game sometimes. And then you've got politicians stomping around, not fucking knowing anything, saying, well, we need to regulate this because it has strip clubs.
Yeah, well, versus like the MPAA and how fucking shady the movie industry is with their rating system. That's what I meant by the this being much better, and everybody loves it. The gaming industry loves it. And the customers love it.
They just released infomercials that you can watch that explain all of that as what are those called? A
public service announcement.
Thank you.
Well, you can make an educated. Like, my son wants to buy this game. Okay, what's in it?
Maybe I should show some interest to what my son's doing.
And really what it comes down to is that the ERSB.
ESRB.
Thank you. I knew I got that mixed up. But their rating procedures, the reason why they're so highly rated is their rating procedures are standardized.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
They're consistent across the games. There's not... like, if you see something rated R, like, the way that they word why it's rated R from movie to movie is different, right?
I highly recommend the documentary, This Movie Is Not Yet Rated.
Yes, exactly.
To see exactly how fucked up it is.
And that's you know, that's the thing is, like, for rated R, it's... They'll make certain statements about why it's rated R, but they're not standardized statements, right? If you look at the ESRB... They're when they list the reason why it's rated mature, or whatever.
Violence, nudity.
It says, it's very simple. There's nudity, strong violence, language. Blood, strong language. Like, there's never any changing between those terms. Where you take the MPAA, for example, and The Matrix was essentially rated R because it came out so close after Columbine happened, and the people happened to be toting guns and wearing trench coats.
More sensitive to that. And I think the thing about the gaming industry that makes it, I don't want to say more pure, but gamers are pretty unapologetic about what they like, right? And when somebody sits down and goes, I want to make this game, and I guarantee you when the Grand Theft Auto pitch came out, the guy sat down and said, we're going to make a game about killing people, stealing cars, and it's going to be fucking awesome. And then from there, they sat down and they line out them how they're going to do it, and they released their game, right? And they grew and progressed on that. But it's, I mean, aside from the hot coffee mod, if you want to say it, there's not really a whole lot hidden from what's going on there. It's, well, yeah, this is what our game will entail, and we're going to tell you everything there is to know about it. Oh, yeah, you're going to decapitate Dead Space. You're going to stomp on skulls. Like, they line item this and tell you what you're getting into. So it just, it boggles my mind that we can look at it as a culture as, like, a problem when it's like, I'm going to hit you in the face for $5. You hand the guy $5, he hits you in the face, and then you're mad. I don't understand that mentality.
Well, like the marketing, you look at movies like, say, Knocked Up, when that came out. If you recall, the trailers for that made it seem like this romantic comedy. And you end up in the theater with these other, like, I remember seeing it, and they're all these older folks in the theater that walked out because they're like, Jesus Christ, like, the stuff they're talking about, this is not a rated R feel-good comedy.
Right, right.
But in video games, you see a Dead Space trailer. That's a terrifying game with gore and violence.
Yeah, like
you know what you're getting into.
Yeah, I just
probably because, like you said, gamers are unapologetic, and it's like, I want to know what I'm getting into because I'll buy into these certain games. Mm-hmm. And movies, there's so much more marketing, and they're trying to trick you.
And you know, and I think probably one of the most ironic things about the rating systems, though, is you've got the MPAA, which people put so much fucking stock into, and it's all it is subjective. Like it's
completely subjective.
It's a panel of people that just subjectively say, oh, well, this is rated R. Well, this is PG-13.
Well, most of them are of a certain group, like the Christian group. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, but it's like there's a couple standards where it's, oh, well, they say the F word more than once, so this has to be rated R.
But
they
can say this word this many times, but since there's this much violence, it's R.
Right.
But in this situation without this, it's PG-13.
So it's completely objective, right? But you don't hear a lot of complaints from the general public about the MPAA, right? You don't hear a lot of people going to see a PG-13 and being like, oh, well, this should have been rated R. Like, you don't see a lot of that. I mean, I know, I'm not saying it never happens, but you never hear it, right? Video games are such a fucking target for that shit when they've got one of the best rating systems for anything to keep kids away from content that perhaps isn't suitable for them.
Right.
The problem, and it always comes down to this, is the fucking parents. Okay. You know what I mean? Things are rated clearly, and there's a list of reasons why it's there. And it's, for God's sake, it's the most standardized rating system we have out
fucking
there.
Fucking Google it.
And they're always under the most scrutiny.
When it's not as vague as G, PG, PG-13 are, because what the fuck do those stand for? You've got like T for teen in games, mature,
adult only, and they've even
E for everyone. There's E for everyone, and then there's another rating they added right before I left. It was,
it's like 10 plus or something.
There's 10 plus, and then there was one below E for everyone that was like, and it actually had like playability levels bundled into it where it was if you're not 10 years old, this game's gonna be really fucking hard. Like, they had that kind of stuff put into it. And like, honestly, like,
it's a no-brainer. Like, the parent doesn't have to even research the game. They can just look at the fucking
get out of your minivan, this game your iPhone out of your ass and Google something.
This game is rated for teen, so okay, let's see, is my kid 13 or older? And then,
or wait, he's underage, but I don't care so much about these things. What does this entail? Exactly.
So this is, they recommend 13 or older. Okay, well, my kid's 12, but why is this rated teen? Oh, look, a standardized list. There's
strong language.
Strong language.
They tell you exactly what it has, and you tell you what it'll say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care about that. Fine. Oh, graphic sex? Probably not what I want my 12-year-old to have.
It's a fucking joke.
Sorry, but it's a graphic sex. My mind went back to the beginning of this week. So.
Of course it did.
Kylie, how do you feel about all of these things?
I am.
Kylie's like, boobies.
I'm all for it.
All for what?
For whatever you guys are talking about.
Do you deal with? I mean,
going all the way.
I guess the comic industry doesn't come under fire as much for this, but do you deal with similar things like that? I mean, you've got the
adult section. Oh yeah.
I mean, like, do you have parents walking an issue of crossed up to you for their son? I mean, how does
the comic industry is a lot vaguer? It used to have the comics code.
They'll have like a T or an A or an E,
but that's based on the publisher generally.
Exactly. Oh yeah, that's
so it's not standardized.
But they center themselves in house now. So
yeah.
Anyway, it's just people that don't know shit.
No, I'll have parents come up and they'll be buying a Walking Dead book for their fucking 6-year-old kid, and I'm like, now
really,
are you sure?
Show.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, this is gonna be a little more graphic than the show
because it's on TV.
Yeah.
How do you feel about rape and beheadings?
Yeah.
For it?
No. Cool. Well, Tom, you brought up rape again, so I think it's time to wrap up the podcast.
I think it's mucus. I just sent you guys an article. I gotta go to the doctors.
Yeah. All right. Well, as always, thank you very much for listening. Please check us out on iTunes and subscribe and rate us. And
don't rate us.
Rate us. Rate us hard, baby.
Listen to any episode besides this one, then rate us. And thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys next week. or
thank you for
month.
Listening to this month's Big Shiny Podcast. Be sure to check out other podcasts in the Big Shiny Robot Podcast family, including the Big Shiny Girl Cast, Laser Brain, and the Big Movie Mouth Off. And for all you Utah local residents, be sure to check out the Big Shiny Geek Show Pub Quiz every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. at Lucky 13.